Hey there, this is Jody Clock and welcome to my podcast, I Woke Up Dead, Now What? In our conversations, we'll talk about real issues that everyday people face should they wake up dead without a life after death plan in place. Join me as we explore the how-tos on preparing for you or your loved one's passing without breaking the bank. And let's not forget about those pets too. Now, don't you fall asleep. Hey everyone, this is Jody Clock and welcome back to my podcast, I Woke Up Dead, Now What? Today we're diving into a topic that's rarely discussed but incredibly important. It is the challenges that we as death care professionals face almost on a daily basis. I call this Beyond the First Ring because it's a real life case that happened to us last week at our family funeral home. I have no idea what was in the air outside of a full moon, but if there has been anything that has been a little wacky or left of center or not normal, it happened last week. So I'm just going to share this one. All right, so we're in death care, right? It's a funeral home. And when you're working at a funeral home, death calls are pretty normal. So when a death call comes in, we have our own standards and protocols. They're not too exciting, but we have a first call sheet. The first call sheet is completed either by the person who answers the phone during, you know, our normal business hours, or it might be by our answering service. Regardless, this form kind of drives the bus. And the only people who should be calling to give us information to release a deceased into our care would be the medical examiner, a hospice nurse, hospital staff, or it could be another funeral director from a funeral home. So these are the professionals that we are used to receiving these calls from. Every once in a while, a family member might call, but we have to explain that we have to make sure that it comes from someone who is authorized to do it so we can follow the legal chain of custody. So this information might sound simple, but sometimes things aren't always as they appear. I affectionately say we're going to get the name, the date of death, or I always say name, rate, rank, and serial number, address, date of death. Were they a veteran? Were they not a veteran? And if they are a veteran, we always make sure we do a final honor walk. So like I said, pretty straightforward. Okay, so go with me for a moment. Just imagine you're all tucked in your bed, you're sound asleep, and in the wee hours of the morning, you hear a knock at the door. Your dogs go ballistic, and you wonder what the heck is going on. And they keep knocking. So, all right, you get your robe, you stagger to the door, and much to your surprise, you open the door and you see your friendly funeral home. Standing right there, two gentlemen, and they say very reverently, "Well, hello, is this the Smith residence?" Only to find out this is not the Smith residence. The Smiths might live two or three doors down. Sounds funny, right? Well, a couple weeks later telling the story, it could be funny, but in the heat of the moment, nobody's happy. And there are some very embarrassing situations there that they have to talk about or kind of make light of, some apologies and move on. But that was an innocent mistake. And there probably is not a funeral home or a transport company across America who hasn't found themselves in that situation. My point here is, forget the embarrassment. That first call, something so simple as a transposition, maybe because you can't understand the individual, maybe because that innocent mistake. So you might want to read things back, but long story short, that first call sheet, think of it as a compass. It drives everything. I kind of like to compare that to, you know, when you get into the hospital and they put that little bracelet on you and every time they come in to take blood, give you pills or whatever it is, they always scan that and they make sure it's you. Well, that first call sheet stays with that individual from start to finish and it follows them. Okay, so first point, check, standard call sheet's done. The funeral director then cross-references the deceased's name with their prearrangement file. Lucky for us, not only was it prearranged, it was pre-funded. So again, it makes our role a little easier because most of the information is there it's all paid for. So now we just have to dot our I's and cross our T's so we can make all of this legal. So upon reviewing this file, there was no reference to who was listed on that first call sheet as the next of kin. The next of kin referenced on the call sheet a niece. That niece was not listed anywhere on the prearrangement. As you're looking on the prearrangement, lo and behold, what do we see? We see that there are two daughters and one of them lives locally. All right, so why would one of the daughters not be the next of kin? I mean, that's kind of the obvious question, isn't it? All right, so our director then reached out to the daughter who was local on the phone, eager to offer support and guidance. However, I mean, think about this. This was a devastating surprise. The daughter had absolutely no prior knowledge of her mother's passing, let alone her mom was ill or even in hospice care. I mean, I would have a hard time wrapping my mind around that if that was me. And then I'd probably go straight to anger. Well, she didn't go to anger. She was very overwhelmed and she was somewhat in shock. And then she became very confused. So she took a deep breath and she did agree to come in and meet with our director. She also wanted to have her sister, who was not out of town, on a conference call so they could sort this whole thing out. All right, so they came in later in the afternoon. She came in with her husband. They got her sister on the phone, and her sister's husband was listening. So everybody was, you know, we had advocates and eyes and ears everywhere. So all of a sudden, you know, they're going through things. And of course, the first question is, who is this individual that is referenced as the niece? It happened to be the next door neighbor. Come to find out, that next door neighbor lady was just a little too friendly and a little too helpful. So what do you think happened from there? Well, I'll tell you what happened. They planned the funeral just as mom wanted it. There was a roadmap. They were thrilled about that. They got their I's dotted, T's crossed. They signed off. And now they're off to focus on what they need to do and honor their mother's life with the funeral of her choice. About 45 minutes later, after they walked out the front door, our office phones ring. And lo and behold, it was the so-called niece. So our director, he gets the phone. And this niece was wondering how come she was not called in. And she's been waiting all morning so she could come in and make arrangements. Well, our director very succinctly said, well, we didn't call you because we had a funeral prearrangement on file that listed the daughters as the next of kin. So therefore, we called the legal next of kin and the daughters came in and made the arrangement. Next thing the director heard was a lot of yelling on the other end of the phone. Well, don't you know that I have legal power of attorney on both medical and financial, and this is my role and this is what I do? And he politely said, power of attorney ends at death. And all of a sudden, click. What the lady didn't know is during the arrangement conference, one of the, I guess it would be one of the spouse's husbands, got on the phone and called the credit union where their mom did their banking. And he shared with the credit union that death had taken place and that they would like the account frozen until a death certificate could be produced. They also did confirm that this niece did have a power of attorney on file at the bank. However, she was not listed as a beneficiary. So I'm sure the whole thing was to have a money grab. But that was not the case, fortunately for this family. So what is the takeaway on this? There are several different things. At least through my eyes, I can think of about five of them. The very first thing that jumps out to me is the importance of pre-planning a funeral. I mean, this story, it just clearly states that there were instructions and then it also reduced any chance for error. And it also helped both the director and the family navigate through the situation when the daughters had never had that conversation with their mom. It also highlights the importance of our profession and our standard operating procedures. We only get one chance to do it right. And my gosh, if we don't get it right, there are a lot of repercussions. So cross-referencing, with the pre-arrangement files, the first call sheet, really looking at what's going on, looking beyond the written word. Legally, how about those power of attorney limitations? It is crucial to remember that all legal documents end at death. The only way that someone outside of the next of kin can make arrangements for a deceased is not to have a power of attorney, but to have a final representative or a funeral representative form. That is the only legal document that circumvents the family. Well, let's just talk about hoodwinking the elderly. I mean, seniors are vulnerable. And in this case, it brought attention to that. You know, why on earth weren't the daughters brought into the loop that the next door neighbor lady was given the power of attorney? That's a clear accident waiting to happen. And last but not least, the vulnerability of the elderly is a byproduct of there has to be open communication. People have to maintain a free-flowing, honest, open communication with their family members, especially about their final wishes or who is in control of financial matters or where those documents are, yada, yada, yada. The list can go on, but this particular scenario, as it played out well, and we did everything right. However, it could have gone the other way. So in closing, I just really want you to think about this. I mean, it could have gone sideways, but again, that's why we have protocols. How fortunate were we, and how fortunate was that family? So what I would like for you to do is I would like for you to jump over to JodyClock.com. That's Jody with an I, J-O-D-I, clock.com. And I want you to read the blog that has a little more detail about it beyond the first call. And then I would love to hear your thoughts about it. Let me know. Has this happened to you? Have you ever heard of something like this? And last but not least, is there a topic that you'd like to hear about? So thank you for listening. And once again, I can't tell you how thrilled I am that you didn't wake up dead today. Hey, if you're hearing this message, you've listened to the entire episode. And for that, I want to thank you. And I am so glad you didn't wake up dead today. Please jump over to JodyClock.com and download your free copy of my family care plan. This guide will help those you leave behind should you wake up dead. I promise. Be sure to order my book, It's Complicated, based on a true story. Send me an email about topics you'd like to hear in future episodes. Until next time, thank you for not falling asleep.